With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode of the Cult Popture podcast was brought to you by our Patreon. If you want to tell us which films we should watch or get two extra exclusive podcasts a month, then please consider joining the cult and donating at www.patreon.com/cultpopture. Merry Christmas, everybody, and welcome to Film Franchise Fortnights on the Cult Popture podcast. This is AJ here, just a little bit before we get to the show. This is our apparently yearly live show that we do now, our Christmas live show. This week we are of course discussing the Santa Claus trilogy, and we did this live down at Little Andromeda in Christchurch, New Zealand. Thank you to everyone who came along and saw the show and talked to us afterwards. It was really awesome that you all were there. It was really awesome to be able to do a live show for a bunch of people, and thank you of course as well to Brendan Bennett, who you will soon hear was our guest for this episode. I will be back after the episode ends to go over a few things for the future of the Cult Popture podcast. But beyond that, just enjoy the bloody show. All right, here we go.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for coming along to Cult Popture Talks About the Santa Claus Trilogy. So, I'm Richard Martin. I'm going to be running the show this evening. But, as always, I'm joined by Make Some Noise for Alexander Jones.
Hello, everybody.
And tonight, we're joined by a very special guest. You might know him from Scared Scriptless or his Nerd Degree podcast. Mr. I just learned he has an S in his last name, Brendan Bennett.
Yeah! Thank you so much for coming, everybody. I'm excited. Who's listened to the show before? Who's never listened to the show before?
Yay! Wow. Well, thank you for coming fans along. Well, for you who hasn't heard the show before, AJ, do you want to explain what this podcast generally is?
Sure. So this is an episode of Film Franchise Fortnights, where every fortnight Richard and I watch a film franchise. Well, we don't watch it on pod, but we'll watch it before the podcast. I should have explained this better. We'll watch it before the podcast, and then we'll discuss it. We'll discuss all the movies in that franchise. We've been going for over 3 years doing this. We have covered Godzilla. We have covered Land Before Time. We have covered Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants. We've covered Harold and Kumar trilogy.
Yeah.
And now we're here today to talk about
The Santa Claus trilogy. And Brendan, thank you very much for coming along.
Yeah, I'm really excited to be here. As people here can see, I'm the one who over-prepared because I was very nervous about being on the show, so I've got a lot of notes.
No, thank you for doing that. At least someone does. How's this going to run? We're going to kind of go over the films and what we thought of them, and then we'll get a bit in-depth with yeah, some of the rules of the Santa Claus world, things like that. And then we've got a segment called Continue the Franchise, where we each pitch a continuation of the franchise. So it could be another movie, a video game, a book, whatever. But we'll open up the floor to the audience as well if anyone wants to come up and pitch their continuation. And also just like we'll do Q&A if anyone has any questions.
And there'll be a prize or two for the best Continue the Franchise from the audience.
Mm. Yeah, oh, thank you.
Who's seen the Santa Claus trilogy? Who watched it in preparation for the show? Yeah. And now who's never seen the Santa Claus trilogy? Oh, okay. So we're...
Okay. Not the whole audience made noise. Who's just seen the first one?
Yeah.
Yeah, nice. Mm. All right. So the films, of course, the Santa Claus, which came out in 1994, directed by John Pasquin. The Santa Claus 2 from 2002, directed by Michael Lembeck, who actually, to tie into our last live show, directed High School Musical 4.
Oh.
Sharpay's Fabulous Adventure. So,
his best work.
And then 4 years later, in 2006, we had the Santa Claus 3, The Escape Clause. Mm. So, also directed by Michael Lembeck. Oh. So, what is each film about? Do you want to take the first film, maybe?
I'll take the first one. So, The Santa Claus stars Tim Allen. Oh, and I was saving this joke for the podcast. Ho, ho, ho! I thought that up a month ago.
And I can tell. Like,
Richard, I'm going to say this. So, Tim Allen stars as Scott Calvin, who's a divorced dad. He's got, you know, no time for his young son, and he's got a lot to learn. And, you know, we hope as we watch the film that he'll go through some kind of character arc, and by the end he'll have learnt some kind of lesson. So on Christmas Eve, he is taking care of his son, whose name is
Charlie.
Charlie. And they hear a ruckus on the roof on Christmas Eve, and he goes outside.
A clatter.
There rose such a clatter. And the best joke in the whole trilogy, which is that Santa's ladder company is called Rose Such a Clatter, which I thought was
The original title for the film was actually Such a Clatter.
I like that. No, actually, I don't like
that. That's awful.
Yeah. And so Tim Allen is like, and Santa's like, and falls off the roof and fucking dies in the darkest moment in the trilogy.
Not just dies, he like force ghost evaporates. Yeah.
And in what can only be interpreted as a power move, Tim Allen then puts on Santa's clothes, and because of the titular Santa Claus with an E.
Do you remember what it says?
Put on the suit, the reindeer will know what to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do the reindeer know what to do? Let's find out together. So he puts on the suit, and then he finds himself delivering presents on that Christmas Eve with his son and these wacky reindeer. Do they fart in the first one, or is that only in the
second?
They're
always farting.
They're always farting, yeah. They're not good.
Just like you.
I never fart.
Okay.
I'm very uncomfortable all the time. And so they deliver and all the presents, and they go to the North Pole, and he sort of learns that he's becoming the next Santa. And then the rest of the film kind of like... Does it really? It takes place over the next year, but leading up to the next Christmas.
Yeah, yeah,
but it's paced in a way that it's like Christmas is just the next week almost.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's slowly turning. You know, he's slowly gaining weight. His hair's turning white, and he's growing a big beard. And then the rest of the movie is kind of the story about how everyone thinks he's faking it to win favor with his son, but he's not. He's really Santa Claus. And the end of the movie, the message is like, Santa Claus is real. So if a divorced dad is doing these things to try and, you know, get more time with his son, it's because he is Santa Claus. Okay?
Yeah. And so we've thrown around recently on the podcast talking about the idea of Santatheism, which is whether or not a film treats Santa as a real person.
Yeah.
So a film that where Santa's not real is a Santatheist film. These are very clearly... Santheist.
Santheist, yeah. Doesn't work, does it?
It doesn't, because it's more or less the same word.
If anybody can think of a better pun for movies that believe in Santa, shout it out at any point in the show.
I'm also curious to know what films would count as Santgnostic.
Oh, we discussed this.
There's actually Klaus on Netflix is Santgnostic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everyone should go watch Klaus, it's very good.
Yeah, it's fucking good.
Go watch it instead of this, honestly.
Yeah, yeah. So, then we have The Santa Claus 2. Now, that film, Tim Allen has been Santa for 8 years now. Mm. And the
entire length of Home Improvement.
The second in charge elf, Curtis, played by Spencer Breslin, reveals that for some reason, after 8 years, Santa has to get married or Christmas will stop. He'll de-santify.
And can you imagine? You're a chubby man who looks like he's in about his 60s, and they're like, you have to find a wife in a month or Christmas is gone.
Yeah, it's fucking Curtis. And so, yeah, for some reason, 8 years is the cutoff. You're allowed to be a Santa bachelor for...
A Santatula.
But so he... creates a robot Hitler Santa Claus to take over the North Pole.
He dresses up as like a Gestapo.
Yeah.
At one point, so it's not.
So he clones himself as a robot essentially, so that he can go to wherever they
New
live,
New York,
whatever, to try and get his son off the naughty list, which is also the subplot to
which
this
is
film.
The better plot, I think. That's the better log line of the Santa Claus 2, is that he finds out his son is on the naughty list.
But he ends up anyway falling in love with the business minded hard ass principal Carol Newman, who of Charlie's school, who eventually he says, "I have to marry you or Christmas will never happen again. And also, if you agree to marry me, you're going to be stuck at the North Pole and you have 3 minutes to make this decision. And we've known each other for a month."
It's what every woman dreams of hearing.
Yeah.
That's true love. That's how you know it's
so
real.
So she agrees to a life of indentured servitude. just being, you know, Santa's.
We need to cancel Santa.
Yeah.
It's problematic.
But anyway, and then Christmas happens. So
he defeats Toy Santa.
Yeah, Robert
who's
Hitler
Santa. Who's the on-brand name for Hitler Santa.
Yeah. And now for the third film.
The Santa Claus 3, The Escape Clause. Mm. So in this one, there's kind of two major plot lines. Mrs. Claus is pregnant. She's going to give birth any moment. And she's missing her family because she's at the North Pole surrounded by elves. And she's very specific that she wants to be around tall people.
Mm. Which I was actually really offended by.
So Santa arranges for her parents to come up to the North Pole, but so that they don't find out he's Santa, they rebrand the North Pole as Canada.
Yeah. And they say, like, these aren't elves, this is just what Canadians look like.
That's right. And the parents are so, like, chronically incurious about life that they that they just completely accept that. The other plot line is Jack Frost is brought before the Council of Legendary Creatures? The Council of Legendary...
Yeah, the Guardian, the Rise of the Guardians.
Yeah, so it's Mother Nature and Old Man Time.
Father Time. The Sandman, Easter the Molinator.
The Tooth Fairy rebrands as the Molinator.
Yeah, for anyone who's seen the Santa Claus 2, they'll get that joke.
I hate rebranding just what the joke is in the movie, like, and delivering it like, oh, it's a real good joke. They call him the Molinator. It's like, that's our joke now. We took it.
Speaking of rebranding, Jack Frost has set up his own, like, rival Christmas, Frostmas, and that's why he's being brought before the council. His punishment is community service working at the North Pole, and then he just ruins everything. It's basically a remake of Othello, Jack Frost, like, worms his way into the trust of all of these people.
It's like Othello meets Shrek Forever After. Yeah. That's the plot of the film.
That's the Venn diagram we've been dreaming of.
Finally.
By then, about half an hour from the end, the actual movie happens, which is when the escape clause, which is the final clause, is that if Santa ever holds his personal snow globe, which is apparently an important thing.
Yeah, he has a snow globe collection in this film that he was just introduced, but it's really important to
but
him.
But also he has this one special snow globe. Yeah. If he holds that and says, "I wish I'd never been Santa at all," then he's transported into an alternate universe where he never put on the Santa suit. And so Jack Frost tricks him into doing that.
Oh, shit.
Oh my god, I missed that.
And we go into this alternate reality where Tim Allen is a sad toy executive and everyone's relationships have broken up.
No, awful.
It's tragic.
And meanwhile, Jack Frost has turned the North Pole into kind of a capitalistic theme park where people can go to spend a lot of money. I don't know why Jack Frost wants money, but he seems to be trying to acquire it. And so then Tim Allen managed to trick Jack Frost into saying the Santa Claus, and then everything is solved instantly.
15 minutes later.
And that's... The baby happens, and Christmas happens.
The baby
happened.
Thank God.
The baby. It happened.
Okay, so what did we think of the films? And also, I'm curious to know, what's your experiences with the films? Because I heard, Brendan, you've never seen any of them.
Never seen any of them, although growing up, I was right in the demographic for Home Improvement.
Yeah.
So, you know, Tim Allen meant a lot to me.
More than Santa?
I believed in Tim Allen.
Yeah, when did everyone stop believing in Tim Allen? God.
Probably about 5 years ago, I think, yeah. When some news came out.
I actually saw Tim Allen at the mall today, letting kids sit on his lap. And he was dressed how he's dressed in the Santa Claus.
Right. Was that the joke you were trying to make when messaged me saying that you saw Tim Allen?
That was me workshopping a future joke for the podcast, which was no better when I delivered it.
Yeah, because I was just like, oh, cool.
Is he in
which
New
mall
Zealand?
Was he at?
South City.
Oh, it wouldn't have been him then. It's a Christchurch joke. Yeah. So now watching the films as a 30-something.
Oh, okay. So the most shocking thing was watching Santa Claus 1, I discovered that I'm 1 year older than Tim Allen's character in the Santa Claus.
Wow.
So
how old's Tim Allen's character?
38. Oh, wow. And so I haven't murdered a single like legendary figure.
Wow.
And I feel like
you're over the
underachieved.
Hill.
You yeah. murdered them when you stopped believing in them.
Oh, that's good then.
Yeah.
That's how Tim Allen died. And AJ, what about you?
I had seen them all at some stage, but I didn't really feel like I remembered them all that well, but you hear certain sound bites from each of the films and you go, I've seen this movie.
Yeah.
And there's some real obvious, I think the most enduring line from this trilogy is when someone tells Jack Frost to chill and he goes, I invented chill! Played by Martin Short.
Yeah, Jungle to Jungle's Martin Short.
When did the Santa Claus 3 come out? What year?
2006.
That was when everyone was like gagging for a Martin Short vehicle.
Right? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
2006, I need more Martin Short.
Yeah.
And in the second one, there's another famous soundbite where, do you want to do it?
No, no, you've been working on your Tim Allen impression.
Okay.
I don't want to rob the audience of that.
Tim Allen, he's just Tim Allen, he's not even Santa, finds out that he's got to get married, and he goes, I got to get married? And these are like the clips they put in the trailers.
Yeah.
But for me, the thing that I heard in the first film that I don't think is a particularly iconic line, but I must have had a VHS that had the trailer for the Santa Claus on like Aladdin or something, and I watched it heaps of times as a kid. And so when, in the first Santa Claus, when his son goes, he is too Santa! My brain was like, and I went back to when I was like 4 years old watching whatever VHS that was, and that line specifically just like evokes living as a young child in the 90s and like just that line, that little whiny kid being like, "It's too Santa."
No, yeah. Well, so I'd seen like the first one's one of those films that I am quite nostalgic for. I can admit it has flaws, but it is a Christmas movie that I grew up on. The second one, yeah, again, I've seen quite a few times, and I still quite like. The third one I remember going to see in the cinema with a guy who fucking hates me now.
Tim Allen. Is he here tonight?
But I, watching them again, and because I've done the whole rewatch, all three of them, a couple of Christmases, but watching it this time, I made the decision that I fucking hate the third movie.
Interesting.
Like I was watching, I was like, no, actually, I'm adding this to my hate list, to the naughty list.
Your naughty list, yeah.
What a bad movie. I don't know. What did you like? Because Bryn, not having seen them before, did you think there was a noticeable like? How did the quality waver across the franchise for you?
For me, the second film is by far my favourite.
Mm. Big Elizabeth Mitchell fan, eh?
Mm. Yeah, apparently yes.
She plays Mrs. Claus. She's Juliet from Lost as well, if you watched Lost.
Do you remember
Lost?
V? That was what she starred in after Lost went off air. She was in a very short-lived remake of the TV.
That's what the V stands for.
V. Yeah, very
short.
No, just very.
The third one, I don't think I have the same animosity towards it. Like it's not like it's a mess.
Yep.
But it seems like it's trying.
Yeah, I kind of agree with Brendan. I don't, and I know like there, like if you look up the Santa Claus memes, you'll find like people like denounce the third film. But watching them, I was like, the first one is like The first one's a good, like, young adult movie, almost. Like, it's there are adult themes in it that you don't see in the second one, which is a really good kids movie, but it is a lot more child-friendly. And then the third one was, like, not as good child-friendly. I don't know.
But for me, I saw it, and because that was my first ever Martin Short film.
Yeah.
And it's only very recently that I've actually been able to stomach watching him in other things. Like, he's in an episode of Arrested Development where he plays their uncle who has to be, like, carried around.
The bullet.
I cannot watch that episode.
It's such a good episode.
I hate it.
Toss me!
And then I've started to accept him as, like, an important figure in the world of comedy along the same lines as Steve Martin. And they're actually both coming to New Zealand, I think. I'm not going to go. But yeah, I cannot watch any of his roles just because of I invented chill.
I feel like I don't like any of the major stars in this
interesting
trilogy. Because, like, no one really likes Tim Allen anymore, right? Can we all agree on that? And I don't really like Martin Short for similar reasons. It's just like, what are you doing this movie for? Why did I need a Martin Short movie at this point in history? And you know what? I'm calling him out. I literally, Judge Reinhold, who plays the stepdad.
Yeah. Famous bull, Judge Reinhold.
Is he?
Well, he's also like...
isn't he the opposite of a cuck? Is
that because he cucks Tim Allen in this film.
Oh, right.
And then he cucks Jim Carrey in Liar Liar as well.
Oh, okay. And then he cucks Beethoven because he's in some of the Beethoven.
Yeah, he's in 4 and 5. No, 3 and 4. Sorry.
Get out. I tweeted Judge Reinhold. I can't remember what he said, but it was something that, you know, vaguely insinuated that men aren't men anymore because of how sissy they are. And I tweeted,
because he said cucks so many of them.
And I tweeted some, like, cool. You know, this is a bad story.
It is. I'm really curious to see where it's going.
I think we should cancel Judge Reinhold.
Devastated.
Any big Judge Reinhold fans here?
Who knows who he is?
He's also on Arrested Development.
Is he?
Mock trial with Judge Reinhold.
Oh, yes.
Man, big third season plotline.
Yes.
You're a big Judge Reinhold fan, are you?
No, only in this movie.
Okay.
these movies. You know, this whole thing about how the main character of a movie is a bit of a dick, and then there's the wife and the wife's new boyfriend, and then the new boyfriend seems like a really nice guy, and then at the end, to facilitate the redemption of the main character, the boyfriend turns out to be really evil. Like, it happens in so many movies. And so I had this anxiety watching the film that Neil, Judge Reinhold, was going to turn out to be real evil at the end.
Right. So you didn't think he was evil when he was, like, trying to take away Tim Allen's custody of his child.
Tim Allen was so horrible. He was like,
he's Santa.
He was so vicious at the start, and the insults that he was laying down to his wife and to Neil.
And to just random children.
And, like, I think as well, with our demographic, the idea, like, a big thing that Tim Allen likes to do, because Judge Reinhold, I should call them by their actual character names, Neil is a psychiatrist, and boy does Tim Allen, Scott Calvin, like making fun of that. Does not believe in mental health. Like, do not take care of yourself. It does not matter. It is all just fluff. Across all three movies. And so even when Santa does not take mental health seriously, that's what we're left with.
But at the end of the film, when Santa has, like, the one trick that wins people over is he psychically knows whatever you wanted as a child, and then he gives you that gift, and then you're his. Right?
It's cold reading.
So
that's a pun.
Neil,
because Snow, Santa.
Yeah, nice.
Ah.
I made a pun. I'm going to call my mum after this and be like, Mum, I did
it. Call her now.
My phone's over.
Neil reveals that he always wanted this Oscar Mayer wiener whistle.
Yeah.
And
a weenie whistle.
A weenie whistle.
They call it a weenie whistle.
A weenie whistle.
Yeah. Several times.
At the end of the film, this tenderness and sincerity with which he blows this little weenie whistle just completely melted my heart.
Right.
Aww.
Yeah. And that's why you like Judge
Reinhold. That's why, from that point on, I was all in on Neil.
Yeah, Judge Reinhold stan.
Yeah.
Okay, so...
is anyone a Spencer Breslin fan? Does anybody remember Spencer Breslin? He plays, like, one of the 900-year-old elves, which, by the way, he's in real life in the second one, he's like 8, and then in the next one, he's like 11, and it's like he's 900. Elves age a lot between 900 and 903.
Yeah,
he's Abigail Breslin's older brother, who's more famous now, but still not that famous.
Yeah, well, she's Oscar nominated,
is she?
Yeah, Little Miss Sunshine, I'm pretty sure.
Oh.
Or something, I don't know.
She's Little Miss Sunshine, or she's in Zombieland.
Well, she was, anyway. Yeah. Okay, so the critics do agree with me.
Good.
That the third one is bad and the worst one. But does anyone want to take a guess?
Well, they agree with me, too. I think the third one is the worst one as well. You can't claim this, Richard. I'm not letting you.
I've claimed.
Damn it.
Okay, yeah. Do you guys want to guess what they have on Rotten Tomatoes? You probably see my phone screen.
I'm not looking.
Good.
I think the first one must be about like 50%.
Ooh.
Bold. Yeah, I'm going to go 53.
You're both wrong. Does anyone in the audience want to guess?
Guess a number.
58%.
58. Anyone want to go higher?
74.
Yeah, someone's looked it up.
When someone else guesses it right, they've looked it up. But when you guess it right on every single episode, go back and listen. He's just good at it. He just knows. He's got a sixth sense.
Okay, what about the second film?
What's the first one?
74.
74. So the second one will be like 60.
I mean, I want to say it's higher, but I think it's lower. I think it's like 40.
Right. Sorry for the audience. 56? Yeah, it's 56.
Oh.
And then the third one, a marked decline.
24.
Nah.
17.
Okay.
You looked it up. You looked at it.
Okay, so I think it's important in this film, with this franchise specifically, to talk about the rules. Because, it's titled after its... the contract and the clause in that contract, which makes you Santa. But there's a lot of inconsistencies, right?
Okay.
Name
one inconsistency.
Well, okay. No, it's not necessarily an inconsistency, but I think it's weird that Scott puts on the suit, and goes to the North Pole, and everyone's just like, oh, sweet.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Because by the second film, everyone loves Santa.
Mm.
But they didn't seem to care when the last one was murdered.
So how bad was the first Santa?
Yeah.
Yeah. Must have been awful. I mean,
because they weren't that unhappy with Robot Hitler Santa.
No.
So we've got a benchmark for what they tolerate.
Yeah.
And we know that the previous Santa was worse than that.
Yeah. I thought of that too, yeah.
Yeah. And then also...
because you don't actually see much of original Santa. He's on the roof and he goes, hey, what are you doing on the roof? And he's like, whoa! And then he falls off. You don't see his face. You only hear him say, whoa! So yeah. We are given no personality. He could have been pretty bad.
A pedophile.
And also given...
which is not what you want in a Santa.
Everyone's freaking out. You're like, I'm not saying they're good.
Yeah. That would mean, just saying the word doesn't mean I'm pro.
Part of Santa's like magical paraphernalia is a sack that floats and carries him around.
Yeah.
So for that previous Santa to be able to fall off a roof and die means that either he's incredibly incompetent or even his magical sack has turned against him. This might actually be like a plot from the elves to get rid of the previous Santa.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And also, I reckon I could fall off a roof into a pile of snow and not die.
And also on that subject, this is the first time this has happened? Is this the first?
Well, we don't know.
Or how many Santas were there, elves? Well, how many Santas were there?
And also, how long has that previous Santa been Santa? Because if it's more than 8 years, is there a Mrs. Claus that just disappeared?
A widowed Mrs. Claus.
Yeah, where they just go, like, they get the beacon, goes like, the sleigh's, like, homing device just goes dark, and they go, sorry, lady, you got to move out. Your husband's dead.
But I'm
or
pregnant.
Does she just disappear?
Who knows, dude?
I'm asking you, AJ.
Okay, yes. No. Oh, okay, would she disappear? Yeah. That's he didn't tell her that when she agreed to marry him on the spot.
Yeah.
If I ever die, you'll be burned on the pyre with me.
You'll just be like, there's like a cellar where all the old Mrs. Clauses just go to die.
Well, in Santa's bedroom, there's an enormous furnace shaped like his head.
Mm.
with a like.
Did they make that?
They just feed Mrs. Claus into it.
Yeah, yeah. Because it moves as well. Like it would chew her.
Yeah, it would chew her.
Yeah, but so what else? So one thing that I think a lot of people, especially a lot of kids, probably liked this film growing up, is it does some work to explain some inconsistencies in the Santa mythology.
Yeah.
So things like, oh, what if you don't have a chimney? It's like, well, he squeezes down this little pipe that every house has on top of it. And then if you don't have a fireplace, it does this shitty 90s morph where it creates a fireplace in your wall. And then he'll come in there. But one thing that it never attempts to explain is how he delivers all the presents in one night. Because he's pretty slow.
They mention a time travel or a time pausing mechanism in.
Do you need some more water?
There is a bit of tech babble there that is meant to explain that.
Yes, correct.
What I want to know.
Yeah, go.
So since this is a Santheist.
Yep.
Movie,
or does anyone have a better word yet? No.
Looking forward to continue the franchise.
That means that Santa actually does go around and deliver presents. So why do no adults not believe in Santa?
This is the big question.
This is the fundamental question with every Santheist movie. Yeah.
Yeah.
Santapologist?
That's good.
Santapologist, yes.
That's good.
We'll work with that for now.
Okay.
It's not great. yeah, so, because... because all the kids, in the second film, there's the best scene in the franchise, I'm so boldly will say, where they go, Principal Carol Newman takes Tim Allen to a staff party, mm-hmm. and it's pretty dead, so he's like, oh, let's have a secret Santa, I found this big sack of toys out back, and he uses his magic to give everyone every toy they never got when they were a kid. But why didn't the old Santa give them to them?
Mm. Yeah, and it's the same with Neil and what was the mother's name?
Mrs.
Calvin.
Calvin.
She wouldn't be Calvin anymore.
Laura Miller. Yeah, so they, you know, they were sad because they didn't get these presents when they were a kid.
Yeah.
Is it that Santa has some policy, you reach a certain age, I stop giving you presents, and that causes you to...
Yeah,
stop
like
believing
it's like a magical...
in Santa.
Yeah.
You know how in The Matrix, how everyone's been living in 1999 for like 1,000 years or whatever,
mm-hmm.
right? But no one realizes it because it's like the part of their brain that goes, I've been living in 1999 for so ever long, is like turned off. Maybe it's like that. Maybe so, Santa still delivers presents, but the part of your brain as a parent that would go, where are these presents come from, is turned off.
It goes, oh, I bought these.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so selfless of Santa.
Oh. Well, new Santa. Old guy. Santa, the jury's still out because we don't know enough about him. And we know for a fact he's worse than a robot Hitler. the other thing as well that's quite funny looking at the Santa mythology now is the idea of giving kids coal, which the burning of coal is contributing to the melting of the North Pole.
Yeah, these movies... Santa's
self-destructive
like,
action from Santa.
Yeah. There's too many naughty kids. He's just kill me now.
Santa's unsustainable. The whole goddamn project is unsustainable. They need to cancel Christmas.
Yeah.
If we're going to keep burning coal,
you talked about the scene where Santa gets murdered. Fun fact, very fun fact.
Yeah.
Did you know that in the original script, Tim Allen revealed in an interview recently that the original script called for him to go outside, see there was an intruder, and shoot him.
Because it's
killing him.
They do. I was thinking about this while watching it because when he falls off the roof, Charlie, his son, goes, "You killed him," which is another line that must have been in the trailer because it sparked some memory.
Triggered you.
Yeah, triggered me. But beyond that, they don't really use the K word again. You know, it's more, there's just a new Santa. And I can imagine the screenwriters being like, hey, it's pretty fucking dark. Like, do we just ignore it? Do we just move past it and pretend, you know, it's only if you think about it. Only if you think about these, like, horrific, like, alpha wolf kind of rules of being a Santa.
I thought you meant, like, E. Alpha wolf.
Alpha, yeah, that's good. That's what they call it. You know?
You know, like the rules of being a Santa are pretty, or becoming a Santa are pretty, like, primitive. You know, you defeat the person and then you take on their role. And also the
there
fact
can only be one.
Yeah.
Highlander.
Yeah. And also the fact that you don't get to turn, well, there's the escape clause, but we don't find that about that till 9 years later. But, like, you don't get to turn it down. It's very, like, you have to give up. It's,
well, no, so the thing is, it just the clause simply says the reindeer will know what to do. There's nothing about taking over Santa.
Yeah. He should argue that in a court of law.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If only his wife had married a judge, not a
Reinhold.
Not a Reinhold. That was good, Brendan.
That's a good joke.
It's a good joke.
Okay, so do you guys want to know just some... I've got some random fun facts here, and then, Brendan, I would love to hear some of your observations you've written down.
Okay.
But So there's a fun... this, like, was a big problem for Disney, that... near the beginning of the film, there's a brief exchange between Scott and Laura where she's like, come on, you need to go see Neil, and gives him his phone number, and he goes, oh, 1-800-SPANK-ME. I know that number. But this was a real number.
Oh.
And so Disney has since had to remove it from future releases of it, because some kid called it and racked up a $400 US phone bill. And I think since that, Disney's now purchased that number, so that won't happen again.
So Walt Disney presents 1-800-SPANK-ME.
Yeah, you call 1-800-SPANK-ME.
That's my continue the franchise.
And also, so this was Tim Allen's first lead role, but in 1994 he was pretty hot property. This was before Toy Story, but it was during Home Improvement. And for a while in 1994, he had the number one TV show, Home Improvement, the number one movie, The Santa Claus, and the number one book on the New York Times bestseller list, which was Don't Stand Too Close to a Naked Man, I think it's called.
That's good advice.
I'm sure it's full of right-wing, weird views.
Yeah.
They probably haven't aged too well.
No.
But, yeah, and then also Disney had to break its... number one rule to not hire ex-cons, because Tim Allen sold a little bit of cocaine.
It's called snow, baby. He's Santa Claus. That's the Christmas magic.
Have you seen there's like a I think it was Walmart had to take a jumper off the shelves recently because it had this design on it that said "Let it snow." Maybe it might have said "Let it snow, baby," and it was like Santa doing lines of cocaine. And for some reason, people were just like, "Oh yeah, this is just." This is what kids are into.
Cocaine.
Cocaine. Yeah. But now that's no longer available. No. So, Brendan, what's your best observation?
Name your best obs, dude.
Okay.
That's a hard word to try and show.
I think that we need to view this trilogy, like Santa as a concept, needs to be viewed as a kind of parasite that gets passed on and... It takes over and controls, because Scott Calvin, the character, never improves. He never becomes a better person. It's just the Santa-ness that makes him into a better person.
Oh,
right? Because in the second second movie, when the de-Santification process begins, he returns.
That's my least favorite part of the whole franchise is Spencer Breslin's delivery of the de-Santification process has begun. Awful.
Once he's de-sanctified, he's back to being just a complete arsehole again. And so he never, at no point does he ever like learn a lesson or become a better person. He just gets taken over by a better person. And while the only reason his son loves him is because he's Santa, not because of anything he's done. The only reason his wife agrees to marry him is because he's Santa.
Well, and also Christmas will never happen again.
And because of the, like, talk about high stakes proposals.
Yeah.
It's very unfair.
She can't turn it down because of the implication.
The Santa Claus is the anti the mask. The mask's turned Stanley Ipkiss into not a worse person, but certainly a more manic and irresponsible,
wacky
a wackier person. And putting on the suit turns Scott Calvin into...
his wackiness levels drop considerably.
And he becomes Santa, yeah.
The reason I love that second movie so much is that there's so much niceness in it.
Yeah.
Right? It starts with Santa walking around the toy shop like he's like Tim Gunn, right? He's like, oh, great job there. Oh, try doing that. There's that scene you mentioned where everyone gets presents.
Yeah.
It's just really happy.
Yeah.
I also like the second one a lot because Toy Santa is Tim Allen's best work, I think.
Yeah.
Because, you reckon?
Because, okay.
You haven't seen The Shaggy Dog, have you?
I have.
Or Wild Hogs.
Oh, I didn't think of Wild Hogs. No, I mean, Tim Allen, like, I think we've talked about this before, that how funny it is that the faces of Toy Story is, like, best actor, like, living today, Tom Hanks and Tim Allen, you know?
Yeah.
And how, like,
1995's Tim Allen.
Yeah. And, like, Tim Allen, I can't think of, like, any kind of, like, iconic movie he's done where he played, where he gave a particularly, like, big performance. You know, like, Adam Sandler's got Punch Drunk Love. Tim Allen doesn't have that. You know,
yeah.
He doesn't, like, Will Ferrell's got Stranger Than Fiction. Tim Allen doesn't have that. And so Toy Santa in The Santa Claus 2, if you guys haven't seen it, he is, like, he looks terrifying. It looks great, though. Like, the prosthetics are great.
Make up your mind. Is he terrifying or great?
Well, he looks great at being terrifying.
Oh.
And he's like a real erratic Tim Allen. He's like, ha ha, ha. My favourite line in The Santa Claus 2 is when he's looking in the mirror and he's kind of got, like, an infant mind because he's, like, just been born, essentially.
Yeah.
So he's, like, learning things. And he looks at himself in the mirror and he says something like, I'm Santa. Boo! Like, I love the idea of boo replacing ho 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 as Santa's catchphrase. And he has, like, an Age of Ultron philosophy of, like, everyone's naughty, basically. Mm. Which is, that's a good idea for your Santa Claus mythology movie, you know? And it's
which
just,
is in Futurama, isn't it? The robo
Santa,
they did
yeah.
it before Futurama. No, they would have been around the same time.
It would have been after.
Oh.
Mm. Ring, Disney, you've got a lawsuit on your hands.
And it's just, it's so funny.
Fox,
and it's so weird. The climax of the film is real Santa and fake Santa on the sleigh together, and it's not Tim Allen as fake Santa for these scenes. If you the camera's very shaky, but if you actually look at him, it's not Tim Allen. And he's, like, trying to stop him from exiting the North Pole because that's when it's
and they
late.
Just go in a circle around the opening rather than aiming straight for it so that the climax of the movie can happen.
Yeah, yeah. And, like, he has a part where he's like, you are a sad, sad little man, which is a
sad,
strange little man, which is a Toy Story quote, which is a weird thing to put in your movie. Anyway, and
Tim Allen wants to remind you of his one good role.
Yeah, of Buzz Lightyear.
Yeah.
But, like, this scene could have been played in a way that's, like, evil Santa is, like, real maniacal in this moment, and you kind of see how evil is, but he doesn't change, and he's still just being like, whoa, what's going on? It's so interesting, and it's so funny, and that's my favourite part of the trilogy, I think, is Toy Santa.
Wow, okay. Yeah. Brennan,
I just have one more question.
No, please.
Yeah.
Please.
Why does Santa, in his bedroom, have a permanent Punch and Judy puppet show going on 24 hours a day?
Yeah.
And speaking of Judy, that's the name of the, like, the elf, the, like, goody two shoes elf,
his
iCarly elf.
His elf,
it's not actually,
like,
played by iCarly,
maid.
It's very similar. Yeah, like his little handmaiden, who he weirdly, like, flirts with in the first film. Some people, know what I'm talking about. That so she comes in.
She's the actress is a child.
Yeah.
That's why it's weird.
The actress isn't 900. Sorry, I should have clarified that. So she's a little, she's a little girl, and she comes in with some cocoa, and, like, it's weird to describe. Like, I don't want to describe it, but her performance is weirdly, like, breathy and kind of.
Right, you're saying it's a disturbingly good performance. For the director was like, I need you to be flirty,
year
old girl, and she ran with it.
And then Tim Allen's like, you know your way around some cocoa. He doesn't say that, but it's the subtext of the scene, and it's real. He adjusts to life at the North Pole pretty quickly. I think he's like, well, there's no tall people around. She says she's 900.
Mm. I'm divorced. I'm single.
Yeah.
I gotta get married.
So Brent, have you got any more? Because you've got pages of notes, I don't want them to go to waste. Have you got any more you want, or should we can have one of our little segments?
Let's go to the segment.
Okay.
On the subject of that creepy scene, I want us to. This is a brief aside. This is my segment, my personal segment.
Yeah.
Called Imagine If These Were Santatheist Movies. Okay, they're the same movies, but imagine Santa's actually not real.
Are you going to do this for every franchise?
Every franchise, if Santa's not real.
Imagine if The Godfather, Santa wasn't real.
Yeah, yeah. And so, imagine he's not real. We've sort of already talked about how, like, then the first movie is just a manipulative, you know, grief-stricken divorced dad who is pretending to be Santa so that his son likes him more, which is what everyone thinks is happening. Like, they go to, like, a child psychiatrist and stuff, and it's just this whole thing. There's a scene in the first one as well where he's just sort of transitioning into Santa Claus, where a little girl comes up to him and, like, she's like, she knows he's Santa, even though he hasn't fully accepted it himself. And we cut away, and when we come back, the little girl is sitting on his lap, and there's a line of children. Terrifying. Imagine if that happened to you. You're a dude, and you know, and you're in our age group, and you're at the park and a little at the playground, right? Sorry, I spat everywhere, and I see playground.
My drink bottle all over me.
you're at the playground, like the textbook place for sex offenders to hang out.
Yeah, yeah. And so why are we there?
I don't know. Well, he's watching his kid. And then a little girl comes and sits on your lap, and you're looking around all these parents. In 1994, five?
Four, yeah.
Four? Like, you could do this kind of stuff, you know? There wasn't
you
as
could
much...
be a sex...
Well, no, but he's not a sex offender. That's what I'm saying. You can have scenes where he's, like, holding hands with a little girl because he's Santa and he's a sweet old man, and we this is in a... pre-allegations coming out about whoever time, and so we don't immediately go, that's creepy. But watching this now, it's not only creepy, but to put yourself in those shoes, it's terrifying.
Well, yeah, like to be
Tim Allen in there and to just have little kids come up.
Something actually like that happened to me once.
Hey man, it's your story.
I was at the beach. I would have been. I was still in high school, so it was like 17. Mm. And me and my friend, he lived near the beach, and we would just go to the beach and like dig holes because it's just fun to dig. Mm. And so you'd go and any fans of digging here?
yeah.
And we dug this hole, and we would like, you know, bury your arm in it or bury your legs in it. So we dug this giant hole, put our legs in it. Filled it up, so we were essentially trapped there. And I was just digging like a little hole with my hand. And then this little boy runs up to us and starts talking to us and wants to, like, he's like, wow, that's such a cool hole you've dug. But he was butt naked. And so he was, he's like, you know, three or something like that. Like, I don't know how old kids are. Like, maybe he's two. I don't know. He could walk, and he could talk.
Might have been
and
900.
He was naked. Yeah, he could have been 900. So it would have been fine.
but no, anyway. It would have been fine. Then he's running around in decent exposure.
yeah. But so he is. So my friend and I are trapped across from each other, making eye contact. We're a little boy's genitalia is at eye level.
Yeah.
Running around.
Do you ever think you'd say little boy's genitalia in front of a crowd of people who have paid to come see you?
I don't think I'd do it again.
It was. I always kind of hoped.
Bucket list chick. And so that was probably one of the most uncomfortable moments of my life.
Nice. Well, exactly. So you can relate to the idea, right? But the Santa atheist, the Santa Claus.
Yeah.
Because the fundamental problem, and like again in the second one, he convinces a woman to marry him. If he's not actually Santa, he's convinced like an adult woman to believe in Santa and also marry him. But the problem with the movies then is that it's only the sweet, heartwarming story if Santa is real. Right, the lesson the movie is teaching you to apply to your life only works if Santa is real, but Santa's not real. Spoilers for real life in our universe, which means like, what lesson are we supposed to take from the Santa Claus?
Yeah, there's nothing. Yeah. There's nothing because no one ever learns anything. Or
yeah, the only tangible thesis you could grab onto is like, he is Santa, so he should be allowed to do all these things. But he's not Santa because Santa's not real, and neither's Tim Allen.
Not anymore. okay, so we've got a couple of segments we like to do. One, we talk about titles a lot on this podcast, so much so that we created a segment called We Talk About Titles a Lot on This Podcast. So
the reason for talking about titles is because we're a podcast that covers franchises. More franchises than not just completely fuck up their titling schemes, and it frustrates me to no end, and I don't know why I'm the only one who cares about it. I don't know why like Hollywood execs aren't being like, no, you called it X-Men Origins Wolverine, you need to call the next one X-Men Origins Name of Hero.
Well, I think that was a deliberate choice to avoid
that's true
people
yeah
you know, lumping it in with
bad
X-Men
example.
Origins Wolverine.
Yeah.
So I mentioned that the first one was originally called Such a Clatter for some...
It's crazy to me that they didn't come up with the Santa Claus first and be like, let's base a movie around that.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it's a title so perfect for the
yeah,
plot of the movie.
Because it's the title has ruined a generation's ability to spell the word Claus.
Oh, I didn't get the joke till I was like 15. Yeah. I was like, that's just how you spell Santa Claus.
Yeah. But I found online today, you can find a teaser trailer for the second film, which is a real weird trailer. It's like mysterious shots of Santa, and then it's like, but a new Santa took over, and there's just Tim Allen as Tim Allen. And then he's like, don't worry, I've got this all under control, and he's holding a snow globe, and then he drops it hilariously after just saying he had it all under control.
I see, yep.
And
then the Home Improvement theme song starts.
And then it comes. The title comes down. It says The Santa Claus 2: The Escape Clause, coming November 2001.
So the second one was called The Escape Clause.
Yeah, and also didn't come out for another 3 years. And he's holding a snow globe in the
trailer. They shelved that idea to make the sequel we got.
Yeah. Well, do you reckon they came up with like, oh, there needs to be some kind of ticking clock in the third one? What about a baby? Wait a minute, he's not married. What if he forced a woman into slavery?
And one guy in the back of the room is like, you really want to make three Santa Claus movies?
I think it's one of those George R. R. Martin things where he originally wanted to write one book, but it just really took off.
Mm.
And he had to split it into more and more books.
Yeah, the only reason they made three Santa Claus movies is because they felt they had to tell the story.
But yeah, any other thoughts on the title? It is annoying that the second one isn't called like The Santa Claus 2, The Mrs. Claus.
That's what it should be called.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because there is literally a Mrs. Claus. And like, that, as in, they talk about the Claus, C-L-A-U-S-E, called The Mrs. Claus. So if you're going for consistency, you would call the second one that.
Yeah.
It's very puns are confusing to talk about, dude. I'm yeah. confused right now.
We also have a little segment called Dumb IMDb Trivia. So IMDb has a trivia section, which I love looking at, but it's user submitted. So anyone can go and just write a piece of trivia, and then you can click whether or not you found it helpful or interesting. There's one piece of trivia that this is exactly what it says. Almost no punctuation.
Mm-hmm.
Start spreading the news. By jet or by sleigh? You want to be a part of it? North Pole, North Pole. You snooze and you lose, so come here to play. Here at the very heart of it, North Pole, North Pole. Come see the snowman up where no man's without a treat and watch this king of the chill. Ha! Turn up the heat.
I invented chill.
Those summertime blues are melting away, although it's 55 below at North Pole. At Polar North, you'll zip your parka tight. Sugar plum trees late at night. It's all for you. North Pole, North Pole. Start spreading the news by jet or by sleigh. You want to be a part of it? North Pole, North Pole. There wasn't actually a full stop there. I'm adding my own one to take a breath.
Mm.
You snooze and you lose to come here, and it essentially just repeats. Doesn't say, these are Jack Frost's lyrics to New York, New York, that he sings at the North Pole.
Mm.
It's just the lyrics with no punctuation.
And no lead-in. It doesn't.
Yeah, no lead-in.
No
you
context.
Could just start reading that and be like,
what a wacky piece of trivia.
What? Yeah, I thought it was dumb.
It is dumb.
Yeah.
What do you think, Brendan? You should sing it.
Yeah.
Brendan, you should sing it.
Well, that does remind me that there was a song in the second film as well. There was like a hip-hop song playing that had the lyric, Santa Knows Karate.
Oh, yes!
It's from a song called Unwritten by Sam and Bean featuring Sum 41.
Yeah, I did see that.
The album yeah. Swallow My Eggnog.
In a Disney movie.
Nice.
Do you remember any more of the song?
No.
Do you know any Sum 41? just can you give us a bit of fat lip? Alright, so I think we have the option now to take an intermission, don't we?
Mm.
Do you guys want one?
You can go grab a drink, you can think of your continue the franchise.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe you should explain that they are going to be invited to continue the franchise.
So,
well.
Okay, we'll take a quick intermission. You can grab a drink, fill up your drink bottles, whatever. And when we come back, we're going
to
do...
Go to the toilet?
Yeah. Oh, and if you want to go to the toilet, it's you have to go, like, to the bar next door. So go out the door, turn right, and then turn left into that first door. You'll find it.
The reindeer will know what to do.
When we come back, we're going to be giving our continuations of the franchise, and then we'll open up the floor to you guys if you want to pitch your own, or if you have any other questions about the Santa Claus, or about us, or about that time I saw a little boy's genitalia.
Do you really want people to ask you more questions about that?
Well, if there's anything that needs clarification, I would love to clarify it.
Imagine if someone just real stitches you up. Like, they ask real loaded questions.
Okay, so 5-10 minutes.
Yeah.
Sweet.
See you back here.
All right, well, we'll go. So.
Just continue to...
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Chrismological?
Chrismological.
Because that encompasses all, like, Jack Frost lore and Tooth Fairy and
stuff. Yeah, all of the Guardians.
Mystical holidays and Christmas.
What about
Santient?
Santient?
Santient. Yeah. It's good stuff.
I like Santient.
Santient is the form that Tim Allen takes from the Santa.
It's what the robot Hitler Santa is.
He's gained Santience.
Sant Orthodox?
No, very good. Yeah. And that fits into, like, the kind of Russian origins of Christmas. Are we recording again up the back?
Yep. Santaism.
Anymore? Any more?
What are other religions that we can make fun of by changing their name?
Santology?
How dare you?
They're coming after us now.
Yeah.
Whoever, the one Scientologist in the audience is like, all right, we've got another one.
Just read dots.
I just wanted to have a good time listening to a podcast, and now I got to report these guys.
To L. Ron Hubbard.
Well, we've been talking about Neil the whole night, and it's a pretty positive reflection of a psychiatrist.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say Judge Reinhold is a Scientologist.
I wouldn't be surprised. I haven't looked into him.
I'd be surprised Tim Allen's a Scientologist.
Yeah.
This is very casual.
Casual. All right, hey everyone. We'll probably cut out the intermission from the audio recording.
No, you left it in there for those listening to go to the toilet and go.
Yeah. So we're now up to a segment called Continue the Franchise. So this is a segment where we each are going to pitch a continuation of the franchise, the franchise being the Santa Claus trilogy. If you've just joined us.
And it doesn't have to be a movie.
Yeah.
In the past, we've pitched video games, we've pitched TV shows. I think you once pitched for Land Before Time, you pitched a public service announcement.
A press release.
A press release that they wouldn't make anymore.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, so here's my idea.
Okay.
And so this is the purest form of Continue the Franchise. It's just the Santa Claus 4. It's called the Santa Claus 4, the Retirement Clause.
Oh.
So, I looked it up. Apparently, retirement age in the US is like 67, weirdly. It's between 62 and 67. Someone probably knows more about this than I do. Feel free to comment. But anyway, Tim Allen is actually 66, so this works really well. So, he's nearing his 67th birthday, and then his shitty elf, Curtis... forgot to tell him until the eve of his sixth God, until like
how,
a month before his birthday.
How are they gonna get
Spencer Breslin to do that? They DH him like Irishman technology.
But
you know what? He still walks like a mid-20s guy.
Yeah.
He doesn't walk like an 11-year-old playing a 900-year-old. There you go.
So the original Santa contract, which was signed off screen, I guess. has a clause in it that when you reach retirement age, you have to give up being Santa. And so now with 1 month until his 67th birthday, he has to find an heir to the Santa fortune.
I gotta get a protege!
Thank you.
And, you know, the whole film would be, does he give it to his, I guess, now 13-year-old son, Buddy, who he had with Mrs. Claus, or does Charlie finally get into the family business?
Imagine thrusting the responsibility of being Santa onto your 13-year-old son.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that would be the thing. Maybe he's lost contact with Charlie because Charlie would be what now, like...
Does Charlie no longer 30-ish? Believe in Santa?
And maybe, yeah, maybe... Oh, fuck yeah. He's had that part of his brain switch off where he's forgotten he had a dad.
That happens in Narnia, dude.
Yeah, sweet.
The last Narnia book, she stops believing in Santa. Well, no, because Santa is
a character,
right?
In the Narnia
so
books,
technically, that does happen. So maybe this is set in the same universe as Narnia.
Yeah, so he's now got to reconnect with Charlie, make him believe in Santa again. Otherwise, Christmas is going to be run by a 13-year-old kid. And also, you know, because it's 2019, there'd have to be something about how, like, the whole idea of Santa is dated and it's like... commercialism and all that kind of stuff, and North Pole's melting because. But then also Tim Allen would probably object to that,
yeah,
because of his.
Tim Allen refused to return for the Santa Claus 4 because it deny climate change.
Yeah, yeah. So that's my idea: the Santa Claus 4, the retirement clause.
That's good, man. Sweet.
Who wants to go?
I'll go next.
Go for it.
So I'm pitching the Santa Claus : Origins. Okay, and
Wolverine. This
is Origins Wolverine. So this is, I want to return to an idea we were talking about earlier of like, how bad must the Santa that Tim Allen replaces be for no one to care? Because as we said, Tim Allen turns up to the North Pole and no one's like, oh my god, you killed the other Santa, oh my god. They're just like, you're Santa now, thank god we got rid of that other guy. So I want to kind of explore that more and, you know, learn about how bad that previous Santa was, because I don't think because of the Mrs. Claus, I don't think he was Santa for long.
Oh.
Which could also mean, so because at least then 8 years, because we never hear of
it. So no Santa has ever made it to 8 years before?
This Santa specifically hasn't.
Right. Actually, maybe no Santa's ever, and that's why Curtis forgot about the Mrs. Claus.
Ah.
Because it's never come up.
Fixing old problems in the canon.
Very
Star
rogue
Wars.
One. Yeah.
And so, like, maybe this guy, because we know he's evil, or he's just not been Santa for long enough for anyone to care that he dies, like, maybe he killed the Santa before him intentionally, yeah. And it's, like, it's this Shakespearean tragedy of, like, of how he, like, you know, orchestrated the death of Santa so that he could become him, and then right at the height of his power, he gets distracted and falls off the roof on his, like, first Christmas, you know? And it's, like...
Like, he's actually only been Santa for like one house.
Yeah. Yes.
The second house was Scott's, and he's like, oh,
because crime doesn't pay. It's a karmic story. But there is an aspect that I want to touch on that I want to fold into this idea, and that is that in the Santa Claus 1, Scott Calvin's boss is played by Peter Boyle, who you may remember as the dad on Everybody Loves Raymond.
Deborah!
Not that guy. Not that dad. Not Raymond, the dad.
Oh, okay.
His dad. I think his name is Frank.
Yeah.
He plays his boss. But then in the second two films, Peter Boyle plays Father Time.
Yeah.
Father Time, right? Now, you could look at this as like, they just cast, and he's unrecognizable
as
Peter
Boyle. They just loved Peter Boyle so much.
Yeah, they don't look like the same character. Or you could look at it like, every mythical legendary character has a clause, in the same sense that if you kill this one, then you become it, right? So, somewhere along the way, Peter Boyle's character from the first film killed Father Time, which is harder to do than killing Santa Claus, I guess, because I don't know where Father Time pops up. And I want to explore.
It'll be at New Year's Eve. He always turns up at New Year's Eve.
Oh, okay, there you go.
Well, he's like omnipresent because there's always time.
Hmm. Okay. Because
that's his catchphrase. There's always time.
Yeah. And so. Maybe it's this dual story where you're watching the old Santa being killed in Santa Claus Origins, as well as like maybe it goes past the timeline of the first film and Peter Boyle's character becoming Father Time. But one interesting thing though is that when they have the meeting in the Santa Claus 2 and Santa's like, I have to get married, it's a surprise to them as well. Mm. So that means that Father Time, the Easter Bunny, Tooth Fairy, Mother Nature have all only been in those roles for less than 8 years, right? Because none of them have heard of this before, which I think they would have. So therefore, I'm expanding this to a full-on expanded universe, a Santa Claus... I nearly said MCU because that's just shorthand for shared universe. The SSU, the Santa Shared Universe. And we see just how all these, you know, beloved legendary characters get untimely, like, killed by accident or murdered.
Killed or murdered.
Or they
or assassinated. Yeah. Or they die.
It might be an assassination, technically, because of the definition of assassination.
What is the definition of assassination?
If it's for political gain, it's assassination. Mm. If it's personal, it's murder. So look out. You better watch out. it's a bit of a mishmash of it's less of like a single movie and more like a new franchise.
Would you bring back Peter Boyle?
He is.
He's been dead for a few years.
Yeah.
Hit up Father Time. Bring him back.
Can he rewind time?
Can Father Time bring back people from the dead? There are.
We'll have to wait for your movie.
There are implications of the Santa Claus trilogy.
Brendan, what have you got?
Okay, I'm going to skip past my initial idea, which was the Santa Claus for the sub clause, where he accidentally kills Sean Connery's character from Hunt for Red October. I want to pick up on kind of some of the themes that you were bringing out with Santa Claus for the termination clause.
Mm.
So legendary figures start turning up dead.
It's Watchmen.
Yeah, it's Watchmen.
It's Watchmen.
This is the gritty one.
Yes. Clause. And that's the alternate title.
It turns out that Santa is being hunted by Nick Saint, the son of the previous Santa, who is setting out to take revenge for the death of his father. And he's killing off legendary figures and taking their powers.
Like
Scylla and Hero.
That's so good, Brendan.
Like Fantastic Four, Rise of the Silver Surfer.
He's like working his way. He kills the Sandman so that he can put Cupid to sleep and kill Cupid.
That's so good,
and then
he
makes
dude.
Mother Nature fall in love. No, actually, the mythical creature's powers don't work on each other. I'm sorry, I cut that out.
That's a good point. So he's working his way up to the Grim Reaper so that he can take out Santa.
We don't meet the Grim Reaper I'm good, good.
And
good.
Then
who plays the Grim Reaper?
And Santa Claus... Oh.
Judge Reinhold takes over.
Yes! And Santa has to make the decision about whether he will kill the Grim Reaper himself to take the power so that he can defeat Nick Saint.
Right, so Tim Allen becomes Grim Santa Claus Reaper plus all the other Tim Allen becomes the face of magical characters.
Yeah, because he kills Nick Saint, and so all of the powers come to him.
So he's the everything.
He's the everything. Yes,
that's the end game of this cinematic universe. Yeah, that's
all
awesome.
The mythical creatures come out. And they're like, what? You wanted more?
One person's seen Endgame in the audience.
Why you never
that
seen
it wasn't funny? And I doubt that. Okay, so we're now at the point where anyone from the audience can come up and...
There's a microphone down here.
Short people only, please.
Elves.
Elves.
Or Canadians.
Yeah. Come up, and so if you've got any questions or a... continuation of the franchise.
Let's do continuations first, and then questions after.
So if you've got a question, hold fire. come up to the stand. It's very daunting looking. Does anyone have an idea for a fourth stand? Yep. Come on up.
Form a line.
For those listening, there's a huge line.
Okay, so it's a bit...
Maybe start by saying your name.
Oh, hi everyone. I'm Kieran.
Hi, Kieran.
Hi. It's a bit bare bones at the moment, but I feel like the main thing that people won't really want from a Santa Claus 4 is Tim Allen. So what I want is to figure out what happened to Bernard between Santa Claus 2 and 3.
Yeah, so that's he was the head elf in the first and second one, played by David Krumholtz, who was too busy filming Numbers with a 3 to return for the third one.
Number 3 is...
I mean, all of the child elves get replaced. The only sort of continuation we have is... Bernard in the first one and second one, and we have Curtis in the second one and the third one. So there's some sort of weird aging thing that happens with when you're a head elf, maybe.
Yeah, because Judy gets replaced as well.
Judy's gone. There's an Abby, I think,
yeah,
instead.
Abby, yeah.
But
and then Abby gets replaced in the third one.
I think it's because the actors are growing.
Don't ruin
his idea.
Okay. But I think that there must be some sort of elf retirement that happens.
Oh.
And so what I want is to bring back David Krumholtz in his now form. He's been living like as a human. Maybe that's what happens with elves when they retire. Mm. Some sort of shenanigans occur. And we
can
have
you list
Santa
some of the shenanigans?
I feel like there's some sort of sleigh crash or something.
Oh, yeah.
Oh my god! They wrote themselves. Is everyone okay?
Yeah. No. Well, Santa's dead.
Oh my god!
So he's gonna have to.
Someone's gonna have to
role.
Put on the suit. The reindeer will know what to do. It'll be fine.
So I want Bernard to be the new Santa and to just have a bit of like a flash through his life in retirement and
cool.
what's happened since then.
No, did you have a title, sir?
No, that's the one thing I couldn't figure
AJ?
Out.
AJ.
No. I'm trying because the story is vaguely familiar of Logan's Run, like everyone the mysterious retirement.
Oh, yeah,
so
yeah.
I'm trying to think of a Santa based Logan's Run pun. If anyone can think of that's the title. It's called Santa based Logan's Run pun. There you go.
Thank you.
Working
thanks,
Karen.
Time. Thank you, Karen.
Who
Who's
else
next?
We got?
Come on.
Hello.
State your name.
For the record, my name is Brianna.
And what do you have for us today?
Mine's a little bit more like Richard's, except it's called Santa Claus for the Inheritance Clause. Because my question was, since the elves live 900 years, I had like that Doctor Who question. So does Santa become that sad figure who's all the family dies and he's still alive?
Oh yeah.
Yes, totally.
And so I reckon that... because I would argue that Scott Calvin actually does reform himself.
Theme's fighting words.
Yep. I'm sorry. Who is it in the second film who gives the presents to all the staff? Was it Santa Claus or Scott Calvin?
Using his Santa symbiote powers.
Yeah and risking his role as Santa Claus to do so.
Yeah, to get some tail.
he is still partly Santa at that point
the
in the
parasite
movie.
Has
okay,
to protect
okay, all
itself.
All right. Anyway, so I reckon that Scott Calvin decides that he's going to relinquish his powers as Santa Claus and die with Carol. He has to pass on the torch and he chooses to pass it on to Charlie. But Charlie, who we see in the first film, really like he loves Christmas, but he loves Christmas because it reconnects him to his father. Now has a year to step into the role of Santa Claus, like in the first film, but he has to come to terms with the fact that he's lost his father by becoming Santa Claus.
Yeah, he has to like smother him.
And so he has to relearn to love Christmas because now it will always be associated with losing his dad.
Oh.
Every idea that everyone in this room has pitched so far has been better than any of the Santa Claus movies. That's so beautiful and tragic. He has to take up
smother
the mantle
his father.
Of
yeah.
Santa.
I get tears pouring down his face as he yeah.
Not like this.
That's great.
So, Santa Claus for the Inheritance Clause.
Thank you, Rihanna.
Thanks, Rihanna.
Anyone else have 70? Right. Yeah,
come on down.
All right, just can't make his way to the stage. All right, what's your name there, champ?
Hey, guys, I'm Tyler.
What do you want for Christmas?
A weenie whistle.
Poof, you've already got one.
Okay, so this isn't a direct sequel. This is sort of takes place between the first and second films. It's called Workplace Investigation Clause, A Santa Claus Story. So Scott Calvin must battle Frosty, the prosecution lawyer, to fight through endless red tape and bureaucracy and a communist defamation case in order to save Christmas. Obviously, he murdered Santa Claus in the first one. That's a workplace accident, guys. Come on. So it's taking that 2019 view, but sticking it right between 90, let's say this is like 96, right?
Yeah.
So something happens around the year. He goes to court, Frosty the Snowman, Frosty the lawyer, and let's chuck in Rudolph, because Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer is mentioned twice, I think, in the third one, but not at all. So let's throw him in there. It's a glaring omission, in my opinion, but I want this to be law-based, gritty courtroom.
So, like, Rudolph comes in as a surprise witness with, like, a cast around his neck.
I think the reason Rudolph hasn't been in it is because back in the 90s, they sold the rights of Rudolph to Sony, so they can't actually mention him and have him in other movies, but he can't have his own. Can't be in the
couldn't afford the light bulb to put on his nose.
Yeah.
Oh, there's so much in there, having farted and stuff, but yeah, that's my idea, guys. Thank you.
Yeah, I liked the bit at the end about the farting.
Could you extrapolate?
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much. All right, anyone else? Does anyone want to toy with an idea that's not a film?
Oh, we got someone here, yes.
You don't have to if you've already come down.
It is a film, I'm sorry. But Tyler kind of stole it, but it also combines the... sorry, my name's Josiah.
Everyone.
Hello.
I did High School Musical in the last High School Musical live podcast.
Live action podcast.
My idea is called The Defamation Clause, and it's a combination of the idea of the disappearing elves, and it explains that plot hole, but it also it's about the defamation of Santa, right? But this is a point where we realise through accusations of someone listening in that Jack Frost and Santa were actually colluding, right, to try and transform the North Pole into a theme park, right, to make money, right? And then, but as this happens, this is the opening shot, is someone hears that, and then the reindeer are behind them. And the tagline is Santa Claus 4, the defamation clause, the reindeer will know what to do. Okay, and there's a defamation clause that if anyone tries to defame Santa, the reindeer know what to do. And so you have not Miranda Cosgrove in the first movie who, and then it flashes back to her, the reindeer take her out, right? She has to be replaced by another one. Wow. They all say through whatever inappropriate shenanigans Santa has been up to, of which there are probably many. But yeah, and we can use the Frosty motif, and Santa's got a law court, but he has this massive capital behind him because he knew that as he was increasing the production and exploiting the elves, more and more defamation assaults would come against him. And it's essentially the people, the elves, versus Santa, the mythical reindeer, whole system. Perhaps there could be more things about him trying to conquer death and become a god. And Tim Allen.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, all of it.
We've all tried it together.
But thank you.
The impeachment clause, right?
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you very much. Anyone else want to come down and pitch? I think we've only got three prizes, so if there's four people and three prizes, then someone's missing out.
We can just get them out randomly.
do we do that now or later?
I'll do it later. Okay. Does anyone else want to come down? Does anyone else have any other comments or questions? It doesn't have to be a continuation of the franchise. Yes. I see a couple of hands up there. Come on up. And what's your name?
I'm back. My name is Brianna again.
Brianigan.
I have two questions. The first one is, do you think that in the third film with Jack Frost's version of the North Pole, basically Disney is saying that all other theme parks are invalid because they don't have the magic of Disney, because Jack Frost doesn't have the magic of Santa anymore. So I feel like Disney's throwing some shade at other theme parks, maybe Six Flags, Universal Studios. Yeah. Well, I mean, technically Universal Studios has the magic of Harry Potter.
She's right.
Sorry, I apologize.
And then my other question is, at what age did you stop believing in Santa? What gift didn't you get?
I have a good story about this.
So that's my other question.
I have a bad story about this.
Okay. Thank you, Brianna. The age I stopped believing in Santa, I think I was 6 years old, and my parents used to be part of Amway. Do people know what Amway is? Amway is an MLM, a multi-level marketing scheme. Which they pertain to this day, like, that's not the right word, they maintain to this day that it's the best time of their lives, and they love being in Amway, even though they...
Oh, because they're able to be their own boss.
Yeah. But
and you can too.
They, you know, they... And so my parents would often listen to cassette tapes that were like motivational speakers from, you know, people who had succeeded in Amway. And I have a vivid memory of sitting in my lounge when I was 6 years old and my mum was listening to an Amway cassette tape and the motivational speaker was making some kind of point and she said, "You remember when y'all believed in Santa Claus? You were all really disappointed when you found out there wasn't one, huh?" And I was like, yeah.
And that's why you now don't like pyramid schemes.
That's why I hate pyramid schemes.
Yeah.
They ruin the magic of Santa.
I don't remember myself, but I remember my sister stopped believing in Santa because so she would have been in primary school, but like young enough where people were starting not to, but maybe 60% of the class still did. And the teacher told them.
Wow.
Yeah. And my mum went fucking nuts.
Same thing happened to my brother, yeah. My brother was told by his teacher that Santa's not real.
Yeah, and I mean, look, it's not your place.
Question though, Brendan, you're a father, right?
I am.
Yeah.
A Father Christmas.
Do you think the idea of lying to your children that there's a Santa, do you think that's a problem? How are you going to handle Santa with your child?
So
Brendan loves lying to his kids.
I never believed in Santa.
Mm.
And I think that...
You were born a Santa theist.
I think that the reason is probably that my parents never labelled any presents as from Santa.
Right,
It was like, these presents are from Mum and Dad.
So, yeah, they want the credit.
Yeah, and rightly so.
Yeah, yeah.
So it just always seemed to me like, that's a nice story. I would you know, hear people talk about it. I'm like, yeah, great. That's a fun thing that we can talk... Like, I enjoyed Star Wars, but I never believed that it was real.
Mm.
And so I imagine that I'll take the same approach with my daughter, except I'll apply it to religion as well.
I feel like when I get around to having kids, that like...
when that clause kicks in.
Yeah. The kid clause. I don't know. The idea of Santa seems kind of weird now, especially like... I think I would want to tell my kids like, hey... Santa's not real, but because, you know, other kids are going to be richer or poorer than us, and I don't want, you know, my kids thinking that Santa loves them more or less than other people because I couldn't afford as good gifts as like someone else that bought their kid a house.
It's noticeable that Tim Allen's Santa Claus only delivers presents to like upper middle class homes.
Yeah, but most of them have fireplaces except for that one kid.
Have you guys ever read that like thing on the internet that's like a great way to break it to your kids that Santa's not real? And it's like when they reach the age where they're going to start understanding, you take them out for a hot chocolate and explain to them that Santa's actually a job and now you're a Santa. And so it's up to you to be providing presents. Oh, like, I'm a Santa too, you're a Santa, this person's a Santa. And you know, and so the idea that Santa is more of a obligation that we all have to be kind and generous to each other, because that's not even technically a lie. You've not really lied to them at any point.
Yeah. Do you know what I'm never doing with my children though is fucking Elf on the Shelf. God, does anyone else fucking hate that as much as I do? Teach your children to fear like a police state.
You should teach them that. They should
embrace it.
That's how you get to the top. The store that we bought these hats from have like knockoff Elf on the Shelf. So it's so funny to see something that looks exactly like Elf on the Shelf not called Elf on the Shelf, because that's the obvious thing to call it. That it's called like Friendly Watching Elf or something like that.
Okay, does anyone else have a question or a comment? Come on down.
Do you think they underutilize Jack Frost's power of freezing people? He only froze Judge Reinhold. Yeah.
Well, I mean, when he froze Judge Reinhold, I was like, the stakes have never been higher.
Yeah. So just in case we didn't catch that, it was, do we think that they underutilize Jack Frost's powers?
That whole movie is an exercise in underutilization. Right, because we talked before about the namesake of the film,
the titular escape clause,
only comes into play, and it's the end of the... It's a film that should have been about a world where Scott Calvin never became Santa Claus.
It should have been like the It's a Wonderful Life kind of
exactly.
story mold.
Which, I mean, also is probably the same percentage of time is spent in the,
true.
The alternate universe where he was never born.
It should have been Shrek Forever After.
It should have been Shrek Forever After.
All films should be Shrek Forever After.
Because... It should be a movie about that, but instead it's a movie about Santa Claus meets the parents. Yeah. And then yeah. they're like, oh, we really want to make it about this. We're going to name it after this. It's not really about this.
Yeah. It's and even the start of that film where Jack Frost is just going around just fucking shit up at the North Pole, and then Curtis keeps on... Like, Santa just wants 5 minutes with his family, and Curtis keeps on being like, oh, Santa, this tiny inconvenience that I could easily fix happened. What do I do? And he's like, well, fix it yourself. And then he goes, duh, duh, and then he has to go sort it out. He can't spend any time with his family. And it just makes me so angry that I know everything is going wrong, and I know where the film is going, that it's going to get even worse. And yet Curtis does nothing to help him, and Jack Frost just keeps piling shit on, and it's like, Santa's being pretty nice to you compared to the other legendary figures.
They're not creatures.
One of them's an Easter bunny.
Okay, one of them is a creature.
Yeah.
One of them's a and oh, Cupid's a creature. He's like a little flying baby.
Yeah,
that's a creature.
Does anyone else have anything they want to contribute? Don't feel be shy.
Cool. All good if not.
Yeah.
All good if not. Shall we hand out some
oh,
prizes?
Oh, yeah, who wants... spoiler alert, these are the prizes. Our hats we've been wearing. We can sign them.
Yeah.
Because my signature adds so much value to something.
Sorry.
There's that my signature, my very cool signature. Who wants a hat?
Yeah, fuck it, I want it.
All right, so the two people have...
The people who came up to answer questions get a hat. We have four hats. Everyone who came up, come get
them. All right, everyone want to sign them? Yeah, yeah. All right, who wants a hat? Come on up. First person up gets a hat. All right.
There's only we're gonna log a bottleneck around the Vivid.
Yeah, there's one. There's one actually over there.
I love a hat.
Is that a personal message?
Yeah, it's my initials.
Can I have all three signatures, please?
Yeah
of course.
No,
you only get mine.
I'm going to give it to my son when I tell him Santa's not real.
But you know who is? This podcast you should check out. It's available to check out on YouTube, Cult Pop Show, or you can follow us on Instagram at Cult Pop Show or Twitter. We're pretty much at Cult Pop Show everywhere, except if you want to email us, cultpopshowmedia at gmail.com.
Yeah, and we're also on Instagram, so if anybody's been taking photos tonight, then at them at us on Instagram. Yeah, and we'll share it on our story. An honor. There's no higher honor. I've never multitasked while podcasting before.
Yeah.
Do you want my signature or my?
You normally barely even podcast.
Can I hear your phone number? No, I'm getting
cut. Oh! You have a wife. She's right there.
Oh, it's a good
thank you so much for all coming along. This has been a very fun night. I hope that you've had half as much fun as I have. which would be like one fun.
Ho, ho, ho. Merry Christmas, everybody. Thank you for coming out. And
thank you so much for Brendan, do you want to plug your podcast and explain what it is? Because you haven't really had that chance. And also, you're doing a live show soon, I believe.
We're doing a live show on Wednesday. Yeah. So the Nerd Degree, we're doing a Star Wars special here. So you can go and watch the show and then go to NTEX to watch the midnight screaming.
Everyone at midnight.
If it's bad.
So tell us about your podcast if people want to check it out.
So Nerd Degree is a nerdy panel show where comedians and nerds answer exceptionally difficult questions. Or make stuff up.
Now, is this comedians who are also nerds, or is it like a comedians versus nerds?
It's kind of a combination of the two.
Imagine if it was comedians versus nerds, and the comedians are real like quick on the mic and real cool, and the nerds are like.
I don't think anything you can say is as funny as that noise you made.
That's why I'm a comedian, baby.
My other show is Dungeons and Comedians.
Is that Dungeons versus Comedians, or are the comedians also Dungeons?
It's in which it's comedians versus me, the dungeon master.
Yeah.
And we have a live show on Friday night again here.
Nice. Bloody working hard. It's Christmas time.
It's Christmas time. It's time to give shows to people.
Oh, it's our gift to you. Awesome. Thank you so much,
Thank
everybody.
Thank you so much for coming Thank along. You.
There are more hats here. You guys got to sign these ones in blue. So it's consistent. Thank you once again to everybody who came and saw us. That was at Little Andromeda in Christchurch, New Zealand. Go along there if you're in Christchurch on a Friday night and have yourselves a drink or see a show. It's a good time. And thank you once again to Brendan for guesting with us. You can find links to all his stuff in the show notes. In regards to what we are doing next week, as our final episode of the year, we usually try and do our most disappointing of 2019, or most disappointing of the year episode, which we've already done the first half of in June. I think we released part one and two, so part three and four will be coming in the new year, because we ran out of time to do it this year, and we wanted to make sure that we had seen every 2019 film so that we could accurately talk about that. This is the last Film Franchise Fortnights of the year, though, and we will be taking a break from doing Film Franchise Fortnights, but not the off-week episodes, which makes it sound like we have some kind of holiday break here, but we really don't. We have to do just as much work for the off-week episodes. So Film Franchise Fortnights will be back next year, early next year, with what is actually our 100th franchise. I didn't mention it, but this was actually our 99th franchise, the Santa Claus trilogy. We'll be back next year with our 100th franchise as the first episode of season 5, or whatever you want to call it. And next week we are going to be releasing an episode. What is it on? You'll find out. It's kind of a secret, so I don't want to just reveal it at the end. But anyway, thank you so much once again for listening and for coming to the show if you did. And we'll see you next week. See ya!
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.